is Matthew Wayne Selznick, and this is Sonatotum, episode 60. Hello, my friends, and welcome back to another episode of Sonatotum, or if it's your first time, welcome up. Every episode of Sonatotum is focused on making stuff, mostly writing, finding success as we each define it, and staying healthy and sane in the process. Every week, in addition to a central topic, I like to start off by talking about what's happened with me in my creative life since we last spoke, since the last episode. And so let's take a look at that. I mentioned in Sonatotum 59 that I was kind of in the blahs, kind of feeling the blues, kind of in a bit of a depressive state. I'm not sure if I've come out of that. I don't think so. But I have been a little bit more proactive in that state. In other words, managing it a little bit better, trying at least to show up for things other than my obligations, meaning trying to do a little bit creatively. And for the most part, that has meant thinking about the larger creative community that I'm trying to develop, that I would like to develop. And that's meant, you know, last episode I spoke about my Patreon community, such as it is, and how I would like to change that and make it more accessible to anyone who, well, to more people who might be inclined to join such a thing. That's going to involve basically improving and increasing the access to materials and to community tools and to me at a greatly reduced price. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on that this episode. I think I'll announce it officially on the episode that comes out on the 28th of November. So stay tuned for that. Of course, if you are subscribed to my mailing list, if you're part of the mailing list community, you'll hear about it there as well. And if you're not subscribed, know that you can do so at mattselznick.com/join-the-community. And when you do, in addition to staying abreast of any news and information that I have, when I have it, you will receive weekly installments of my free fiction serial, Hazy Days and Cloudy Nights, How It All Got Started. And that's, that's almost a year and a half, maybe over a year and a half of free serial fiction at this point. It's still growing. Yeah, I will announce on the podcast next week and to the mailing list and et cetera, about what's going on with the Patreon community. I will say this, this is kind of a spoiler for the 30 or so folks who listen to this podcast at the moment, as I record this on November 19th, 2022, that if you pledge at the $5 level, either now or in the future, after, say, the end of November 2022, then you'll be exactly where you should be. Let's just put it right there like that. So what does it mean that I've been working on that? Well, it means that I've been adding a lot of content to my website. I've been moving my previously private wiki over to a section of my website, mattselznick.com, that will only be accessible to my patrons. And I've been adding other content here and there. And what else have I been doing creatively? Looking into music stuff. I can never tell if my interest in making music goes up when I am struggling with other stuff, or if it's just, you know, one of the billion things that I want to accomplish creatively. In an ideal world, I would just flow between music and writing and other creative things without worrying about how much time I was allocating to one thing or another. But time is limited, attention is limited, opportunity is limited. So when I drift toward music, as I have been in the last week or so, I wonder if it's a sign that it's because it's easier. There's very much an immediate return on the investment of time and energy and focus than when it comes to writing. Sometimes after I've spent a few hours playing music, I actually feel a little guilty because there's nothing tangible to show for it, which is silly. I really wish that I was in a situation where I felt comfortable just playing in every sense of the word, just being at play and playing music. But that's how my creativity manifested in this last week. Sometimes I think it's easier to build towards something than it is to build something. It's a form of procrastination. It's a form of fear. It's a form of avoidance. And I'm in it, and I'm trying not to punish myself too much about it because I do know that I'm emotionally, I'm in a pretty low ebb right now. And, you know, it is what it is, as I've been saying a lot lately. So that's where we're at there. Now, rather than have this be a complainy pity party, I'd like to provide you with some stuff that you can actually use. I thought that I would share my tool set, the mostly software and services and resources that I depend on day in, day out, week to week, hour by hour for my both creative endeavors and for my professional work. So let's do that. This is sort of the tools and resources episode, at least as applies to late 2022. These are the things that I'm using on a daily basis to help my clients as a creative services provider, working with authors and podcasters and other creators, and as a creator myself. There will be links to all of these things in the show notes for this episode, Sonatotum with Matthew Wayne Selznick, episode 60, over there at mattselznick.com. Just click on the podcast menu item, and it will be the most recent podcast episode that you see. I'll have the links and descriptions of all these things that I'm going to mention there. And I will also update the resources page over there at mattselznick.com, which you can find at, predictably enough, mattselznick.com/resources, because it's been a while since I've updated that page. And I do use some different tools now than are on those pages. So the very first thing, kind of the central hub to everything that I do, is something called Dynalist. Now, Dynalist is at its core a very basic plain text, well, markdown text outliner. It's nothing but lists. And you can nest these lists, similar to how you would create a bulleted list, infinitely nestable and infinitely zoomable. In other words, you could have a bullet point that is, I don't know, six layers deep, nested within, you know, five other points, hierarchically speaking. And you could focus in just on that one item and basically treat it, like almost like a document. Dynalist is amazing because, number one, it's cross-platform. While it is effectively web-based, there are also desktop versions for Mac and PC, and I think Linux, Mac, Windows, and Linux. But it's also web-based, right? And all of these synchronize almost immediately. So I can make a note in the Dynalist app on my phone, walk upstairs to my computer, and it's already there on the Dynalist desktop app on my computer. As an outliner, it is excellent for, well, outlining, but also for list making. I use Dynalist for note taking, for my day-to-day calendar, my agenda, you know, my to-do list, grocery lists. I have documents in Dynalist that are just notes and records, references. I mean, everything you can think of, you can throw into Dynalist and it is there for you on any of your devices. And because it's based on Markdown, which is essentially plain text, it is future-proof. You can always export your data and you still have it all in a form that can be read by pretty much anything. Now, Dynalist is a free product. It's what they call a freemium model, where it's free to use, but if you want more bells and whistles, you can pay basically 10 bucks a month. It is so worthwhile. I love Dynalist because it's like having an infinite pile of index cards available to you at any moment that are also interconnected and hierarchically arranged, and you can change that arrangement at any time, and you can link between the two different notes. One of the great things I should mention about Dynalist is they have a web clipper, which many of these note-taking apps have, where if you're in a web browser, you can basically add an item to Dynalist at any moment. But they also have what's called an inbox in Dynalist, where on the Android and I think probably any phone, but I use an Android phone, so you can share anything that you find to that inbox, and it's added to that particular list within Dynalist. And I've used this to clip thousands of articles, quotes, just anything that I want to come back to later. And it's pretty amazing. It's also completely 100% globally searchable. And it utilizes tags, if you like. So you can tag different list items with different topics. Now, one of the ways that I've used Dynalist, for example, is to actually outline books. My most recent work, Indie Author Marketing Infrastructure, I outlined that in Dynalist, and then I wrote it in Dynalist, and then I exported all of that to a rich text file, which I then, turned into the ebook and so on and so forth. So you can write entire books in Dynalist. You really don't need anything else. But I primarily use it for, as I mentioned, my daily lists, my to-dos. There's a calendar function, and it actually will sync to your calendar as well. It's so simple, but it's so flexible and useful that it really is like my offboard brain. And whether you use it for free or you go ahead and spring for the for-pay version, which gives you, again, more flexibility in some ways, it's a fantastic tool. And yes, there will be a link in the show notes for this episode, Sonatotum episode 60. And that link will be an affiliate link. Many of the things I talk about today, I have affiliate links for, which means that if you do choose to purchase something, I might receive a little kickback at no extra charge to you. So it's a way to support the show, if you like to think of it that way. And it's a way to thank me if you are so moved for the information. I will also note, as long as we're talking about affiliate arrangements, that anytime I do enter into or promote an affiliate relationship with a product or a service, it's something that I either use, have used, or either way, approve of and have vetted. And, I'm not just recommending things to you because I'm going to get a cut. These are things that I actually use or have used, and in many ways are essential for me. So Dynalist, cross-platform, automatically syncs across all your devices. Fantastic, simple, off-board brain that is as complex as you yourself would like it to be. It's almost the epitome of the perfect tool that I'm looking for, which is something that does what I need it to do, and it also stays out of my way. All right, so the next thing, and I'm sure that there are, by the way, most of these, I am a Windows user and an Android user. Many of these things that I mentioned are cross-platform. There will be Linux and Mac options. or versions of these services and applications. If I'm not sure, then I won't mention it, but almost always these are cross-platform or there are similar alternatives. Okay, so the next thing, you know, every operating system, Windows or Mac or Linux, has some kind of text editor. I really like Notepad++, and I use it pretty much on my laptop and desktop machines, both. And for me, I use Notepad++ not just as a as the go-to default application for reading text files, plain text files, but also for jotting quick notes or for being sort of a clipboard catcher. Or if I'm on a phone call, having it open to take notes. And it's a very versatile text editor and text reader. People can actually use it for development as well. It is a perfectly appropriate editor for developers. So if you are a coder, software engineer, anything like that, you probably already know about Notepad++. I use it just kind of like having a notepad open on a screen. I have a two monitor system on my desktop, and Notepad is usually open and full screen on one of those monitors. It's also tabbed, so you can have multiple documents open at once, which is something that most of the native, as far as I know, the native text apps for Windows and Mac do not provide. And it's just super handy. One of the things that I really like about Notepad++ is you can set it up so that even if you close down your computer and forget to save the various documents you have open, they will pop up in the same state the next time you open Notepad++. So pretty useful, plain text editor. And by the way, I'm going through these in no particular order. Just actually, I opened up a Notepad++ document and just jotted down the tools that I'm using these days as they came to me. So no particular order. So the next one falls under the heading of a writing tool, creative writing tool, fiction, nonfiction, what have you. It's something that if you are a creative writer, you are probably already aware of, and I'm going to talk about it with caveats. And so that is Scrivener. Scrivener is sort of the ubiquitous. It's the word of writing tools. But you're going to say, Matt, Word is a writing tool. Well, Word, Microsoft Word is a word processor. Scrivener is a, I would call it more of an asset organizer for your writing. And Scrivener is one of these programs that you can go from outlining to finished book. You can even format an ebook in Scrivener. You can do everything from idea to finished product in Scrivener. I don't use it that way. I think Scrivener is a little bloated. I think it tries to be too much. I think it's overly complicated. And for all of that, not completely flexible. And in the ways that it is flexible and customizable, you have to jump through a lot of hoops to accomplish the setup that you want to have. Additionally, it is a Mac-first application, and the development on the Windows side of things usually lags behind. That may not be as extreme as it once was, but their focus is for sure on the Mac and iOS side of things, with the Windows version of the product just not quite behaving the same. So that said, why do I use Scrivener at all, especially when there are free tools like YWriter available, which do some of the same things? Well, Scrivener has, it's funny, I almost feel like a little guilty loyalty toward YWriter. YWriter is focused on writing fiction, and in a particular way. It is slightly less customizable than Scrivener. For example, in YWriter, which is excellent. Each little item on the outline is a chapter. Well, maybe you don't want each item on your outline to be called a chapter. Maybe you just want it to be an outline item that you think of in any way you like. Scrivener will allow you to create clickable, draggable, resortable in any way, shape, or form that you would like, rearrangeable in any way, shape, or form that you would like, which, you know, again, YWriter does the same thing. Outline items that you define, right? And so I can set up a Scrivener template that has my story structure figured out, whether I'm using a three-act structure, which is really, you know, a kind of a first act, second act, part one, second act, part two, third act kind of structure, or I want something else completely different. Scrivener is almost what I want from writing software. Where it fails me, and I'm not even going to get into like it's the whole side of Scrivener, which is formatting and ebook production and all of that. I have a different tool that I use for that, which I'll mention in a bit. But where Scrivener fails me is I want something with the ultimate flexibility of a Dynalist coupled with the expanded capabilities of a Scrivener. I want an outliner that lets me create documents that might also be nested, you know, so some documents effectively act as folders for other documents, which is how Scrivener works. I want to be able to arrange those in any way, shape, or form, but I also want to track things in an unlimited sense. I want to be able to keep a database of characters, and I want to be able to define exactly what those qualities of each character might be. Same thing with locations or items. And yeah, I could use a database. you know, I could use something like perhaps Notion or spreadsheet.com or Airtable. But all of those lack the outlining function, as far as I know. I firmly believe in tools that, as I mentioned about Dynalist, that serve their purpose and provide value and basically supplement and augment one's own brain without making you think about the fact that you're using a tool, right? Without having to fight too hard to make that tool do the thing that you want it to do. So for now, grudgingly, Scrivener is fine for an outline. It's not especially ideal for complex outlines, at least out of the box. And again, I don't want to have to struggle to make the tool work the way I need it to work. But I use Scrivener for Hazy Days and Cloudy Nights, the free serial fiction project that I offer my mailing list subscribers, as I mentioned. And in Hazy Days and Cloudy Nights, I use it as the outline function that I use is basically a calendar every month, every day. And then within each day, I will have documents for each installment for each character as we go through the serial. I'm using it for Shadow of the Outsider, my current work in progress, my next novel. And, I mean, it's okay for organizing and thinking about what I'm to write. I don't actually usually write in Scrivener. And I'll tell you why. Because the user interface is too distracting for actual writing. Scrivener has a full screen option, but it's not really full screen, not without a whole lot of tinkering. And even then, I still feel like I'm in Scrivener. So oftentimes what I do, and this segues neatly. Oh, before we do that segue, Scrivener is a for-pay product. I believe it runs about $40. You may find it incredibly useful. It is very flexible, but you have to fight to attain that flexibility when you use it. And of course, yes, there will be a link in the show notes. Now, I use Scrivener for organization, grudgingly. It's not ideal, but it does seem to be the best thing that I can find. that is a relatively mature piece of software that's not going to crash and burn as I use it. WyWriter comes close, but it is WyWriter makes choices for you. However, WyWriter is free, and it may be absolutely perfect if you are writing a relatively straightforward linear novel or shorter work. Check them both out. I'll have links to both in the show notes. But when I'm actually writing scenes, for example, in Shadow of the Outsider, I will open up a true full text, no distractions editor, and I use Q10, which is a very tiny little piece of software. I believe it's available cross-platform, but I'm not sure. I will confirm that for the show notes. Q10 is completely plain text. There's no formatting other than the size of the font that you're using from a few choices, and the margins and the line spacing. Other than that, it is plain text. It saves files in completely plain text. So it's not a word processor. It is a distraction-free text editor with an emphasis on creative writing. You can set it up so that it has a little bottom margin area that shows your word count for the current document. You can set up alarms so that you can time, you know, your writing, that kind of thing. Something that might seem trivial, but is one of my favorite features for Q10, is that it includes a sound effect. It includes typewriter sounds for when you are typing. And those sounds, quaintly enough, are actually sampled from the movie Amelie, which, if you've seen it, is delightful. And it's just like a little bit of icing on the cake, the idea that the sounds of the typewriter come from that movie, which is so wonderful. Oh, and the other thing, Q10 is such a full screen, distraction-free editor that it doesn't even have a menu bar up at the top. You have to hit a hotkey. I think it's F1 on your keyboard to actually see the function menu. And there's a lot of different stuff you can do in Q10, but it's all hidden away. When you open it up, it's full screen. You don't see anything else other than the words you type. And there's something about that immersivity, if I can invent a word, combined with the typewriter sounds, especially if you've got headphones on. For me, at least, it really gets me into a groove. Hearing those typewriter sounds, that clack, 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 with every keystroke, I find myself typing faster. I find myself thinking less, second guessing. It gets me into flow. Q10 is free. I believe you can donate to the developer. I don't know, honestly, if it's still being actively developed, but it is so simple that there's really not much more that they could do with it other than make sure it continues to work with all the various operating systems and whatnot. Q10, full text editor with some bells and whistles that it stays out of your way. It does one thing very well, and I love it. I love it. And so what I'll end up doing is outlining and keeping my notes and sort of story infrastructure, story architecture in Scrivener, and then typing out the scene, writing the scene in Q10, and then copy pasting it back into Scrivener. It's just how it seems to work. As I mentioned, Scrivener does have a full text mode, as does WyWriter, but it's a full screen mode. I said full text, I meant full screen mode. Somehow in Scrivener and WyWriter, they managed to not actually be full screen, no distraction. Q10 is really much better for that. Okay, enough said. What about if you are more visually inclined, or if you like brainstorming on whiteboards and creating flowcharts and relationship charts and thinking more visually? Well, I like to do this sometimes. In fact, I was really stuck on Shadow of the Outsider until I started playing with a mind map software, a mind map application service. For those of you who aren't aware, a mind map is basically just items connected by lines. So if you've ever seen like a cop show or a detective show where, you know, they're standing in front of the big board and they've got pictures and newspaper clippings and notes and all kinds of things connected by yarn, a mind map is kind of like that. There's a lot of mind mapping software out there, as I mentioned, and kind of like Scrivener, most of them try to be a particular thing. They try to kind of corral you into a particular design choice or way of organizing your thoughts. I want something that's going to, again, stay out of my way and work the way I need it to work, not otherwise. The closest I have come to a stays out of my way mind mapping, diagramming application is Mindomo. And that's Mindomo. It's either Mindomo or Mindomo. I don't know how it's pronounced, but it is fundamentally a web-based application that also has desktop software that goes along with it and syncs up. It is not free. I know I'm paying for it. I don't think there's a free level. If there is, it's limited. The nice thing about Mindomo is whether you're using it in a web browser or if you've downloaded their desktop app, you can load up a locally saved mind map into the application. Now, I like it because, again, it doesn't really force you into a particular style of mind map. It's just type in a box, type another box, connect those boxes with lines or not. So each box can have a one-to-one correlation, one-to-one connection with another box or many boxes or no boxes. And it just, it really helps me to suss out more complicated story structure, such as in Shadow of the Outsider, which has proven to have kind of a complex nut. And so sometimes it's just good to think about your text in a visual way. Some people like to use index cards on a corkboard, real or virtual. I even find the corkboard, virtual corkboard style kind of limiting because those usually restrict you to putting the cork, putting the index cards, virtual index cards, into particular columns, which is what YWriter does. It's what something like Trello does, if you're familiar with that sort of project management application. Mindomo just lets you make crazy big giant mind maps, and it's infinitely, or as close to infinitely as necessary, zoomable or zoom outable. So you really can have extensive mind maps for your work. I will include a screenshot of the mind map for Shadow of the Outsider as it stands right now, and you'll see just how big a novel length work can get if you just use a mind map to sort of follow your thoughts and follow the consequences of various things out and let that diagram sort of bloom. It can be very helpful in seeing your work in a different way. It can be enlightening, really. Similar to that, and even more free form, but a little more restrictive because it's entirely, almost entirely image-based, is a virtual whiteboard, or an infinite whiteboard, as I like to think of them. I had found a solution like this, where basically your screen becomes a whiteboard that you can do anything on. You can draw on either with a mouse or if you have a drawing tablet, you know, in that way. But basically drawing, sketching, writing notes, on a whiteboard, but the whiteboard is on your computer screen. And again, just like with Mendomo, you can zoom way, way out so that you have functionally unlimited space on this whiteboard. I had a solution that I was using for a while. They either went out of business or they stopped development. Bottom line is it no longer works, which is a bummer. But then I found Excalidraw. Excalidraw is an open source, web-based, infinite whiteboard. Pretty darn cool. Very simple. I mean, you can't, you know, it's not like having an iPad and a full-scale drawing solution. That's not what this is for. This is for quick sketches, for notes, for brainstorming, what you would use a whiteboard for. You know, you're using a whiteboard with dry erase markers, right? There's not a whole lot of resolution or fine detail in the stuff that you're creating. I like turning to this option. I mean, honestly, I like a physical whiteboard, but my the layout of the current lush and lavish studios of MWS Media, where I work and record, it's just not set up where I can actively, easily use my whiteboard day in and day out. So I look to virtual solutions. Excalidraw is pretty darn cool. It is, as I mentioned, web-based. They don't keep your data. However, you can export a session onto your local computer and then load it up the next time you load up Excalidraw. So your data remains your own and you can save it locally and then just use the service when you're back online. I have a small, modest home web server. So because Excalidraw is open source, I've gone ahead and created my own Excalidraw instance, and I've set it up so that I can access it from my server, which is, you know, in the home office here. I can access that server, that version of Excalidraw for myself anywhere that I have a web connection. So that's how I've set that up. I've taken out the actual Excalidraw company out of the equation entirely. But you don't have to do that. You can just go to their website and start using Excalidraw immediately. And it's pretty cool. Pretty darn cool. Next on the list is something you're probably aware of. It's an alternative to the Microsoft ecosystem of Office, right? Word, Excel, Access, all those Microsoft Office programs, which I believe cost about $9 a month. Instead, you could use the cross-platform, absolutely free LibreOffice. LibreOffice is compatible with all the Microsoft formats, does pretty much everything you could ever want Word or Excel or the other Microsoft products in the Office suite to do. And it's free and it is actively developed. So I strongly recommend LibreOffice. You can open up Word docs. You can save as Word if you need to share things with other people or have access to documents that folks who only use Word send you. LibreOffice will work just fine. Again, it's very likely that you're aware of LibreOffice already. They are the ubiquitous choice for folks who don't want to or can't use the Microsoft Office suite of products. I pretty much exclusively use LibreOffice in lieu of Microsoft Office products, and no one knows the difference. That's how great it is. And you're not having to be stuck with that Microsoft Office subscription or those services. Pretty cool. Along the same lines of the sort of monopoly or attempted monopoly that Microsoft has with its Office suite, on the visual side of things, everyone knows that the 900-pound gorilla in the room is the Adobe suite of products, Photoshop, Illustrator, and InDesign, Photoshop for photography and raster graphics, bitmapped graphics, manipulation and creation, Illustrator for vector designed functions, and InDesign for desktop publishing, primarily print magazines and newspapers and books and things like that. Well, the Adobe ecosystem is another subscription service, and it can become quite expensive over time. I am here to tell you that there is an alternative to Photoshop, to Illustrator, and to InDesign, and that is through the Affinity suite of applications. They have comparable and very mature, very well-developed, well-designed applications that will replace Photoshop, Illustrator, and InDesign for you. I love them. And it's a one-time fee with updates for free in each major release. So in other words, they just updated to version 2. I purchased version 1, I don't know, like 3 years ago. I paid $75 for 3 full-featured applications that replaced Photoshop, Illustrator, and InDesign. $75 once. I just paid again, like 3 years later, I think, because they updated to version 2. So you do the math, it's an incredible deal. And they're excellent products. No more subscription. They can read Photoshop and Illustrator and InDesign formats. So you don't need to worry about no longer being able to open stuff that people send you that was made in Adobe products. I can't say enough about the Affinity suite. And they do not have an affiliate program. So rest assured, I'm not making any money when you buy Affinity. Doesn't matter. I want you to use them instead of the Adobe products. They are so good. And yes, there are free and open source alternatives to Photoshop, Illustrator, and InDesign. I find they're okay. You know, I'm thinking about GIMP, and I think the Illustrator clone is called, I want to say it's Inkscape. And there's a desktop publishing thing also. They'll be in the show notes, the open source alternatives, the completely free alternatives, if you want those. I don't recommend them myself. I have tried them. They're just not as robust and as, well, again, mature as this commercial product, the Affinity suite. So really, if you find yourself using those use cases, if you have those use cases, you know, a lot of graphics editing, a lot of graphics creation and desktop publishing and layout. Like, for example, if you're an author who creates his own paperback books or her own paperback books, then, you know, this is worth it. I think right now, since they just came out with version 2, they're having a little sale running right now. Again, it's toward the end of November. It's November 19th, 2022, as I speak this. Affinity, pretty darn cool. The Affinity suite will help you with laying out your print layouts, newsletters, flyers, magazines, paperback and hardcover book interiors, all of that. For ebook creation, now I know there are a lot of options for creating an ebook. There are what I call, well, not just me, but what are called meat grinder solutions, where you input a Word doc and it pops out an ebook based on some criteria that you supply, templates that the software product provides. And look, these meat grinder applications, they're okay. They're going to get you by, but also you're going to end up with a product that looks like something that everyone else who uses those products is going to create. They, by the fact that they all use templates and have kind of a house style, you can't help but end up looking, your ebooks end up looking like everybody else's. There's a bit of a learning curve, but I prefer to kind of roll my own when it comes to ebooks. I use an open source cross-platform application called Sigil, S-I-G-I-L. And it is more of a code level editor for creating ebooks. Now, don't let that scare you, because the code is actually very straightforward, and it does include, you know, your basic toolbar, so you don't have to worry about the code for bold or italic or center or whatever, or changing the size of the text. But if you take the time to learn the very basic, essentially HTML code that goes into creating an ebook, then Sigil is wonderful for creating perfectly standards compliant EPUB 2 and EPUB 3 ebooks with whatever design and style that you want in the finished product. So in other words, you wouldn't have to settle for the house styles of these meat grinder applications. You could create your own house style so that your books all have a look associated with you, not whatever the meat grinder decides that you might have slightly customized one way or the other. Sigil is absolutely free. It's an open source project, meaning that the code used to create the program is readily available for anyone to inspect and change and adapt. It's free and it's cross-platform. It can be installed on Windows, Linux, and OS X devices. Sometimes, as creators, we need to make videos. And video editing, while you can do a lot right there in your phone, and you can do a lot with the basic video editing program that might come with your operating system, if you need to do a bit more, or if you would like to expand your video editing options and create more professional appearing YouTube videos or TikTok videos or whatever your thing is, then I recommend DaVinci Resolve. Now, DaVinci Resolve is a freemium product. In other words, there's a really, really good free version that you will be hard-pressed to need more than, and you're good to go there. Transitions and effects and audio editing to a degree and cutting and splicing and everything, titles, everything that you might need to create a good-looking video, right down to frame by frame by frame, you can do in DaVinci Resolve. Again, it is free to use, and you can render video all the way up to 4K. And if you do a lot of video editing, I've used a lot of free and low-cost video editors. This is, so far, the absolute best choice. In fact, it's one of the things on my resources list that I need to update, because I used to recommend a different free video editor. This is simply better, more robust, more dependable, and creates a better product in the end. DaVinci Resolve for any of your video editing. So those are the bulk of the tools and services that I use, both as a creator and in my role as a creative services provider for other creators, which, by the way, if you want to find out more about that and see if I could help you, go to mattselznick.com/services and see what we might see. And if you keep listening, there'll be another little thing about that. Regular listeners know what I'm talking about. Stay tuned. We are coming up on an hour plus in the recording. I was going to talk a bit about some of the website and mailing list tools that I use, but perhaps we'll wait for another time. Perhaps I'll just mention those in the show notes. If you've read my book, Indie Author Marketing Infrastructure, you already know about the website tools that I use, the mailing list tools that I use and recommend. So you can check that out, of course, anywhere you find ebooks, or you can get a copy of Indie Author Marketing Infrastructure directly from me. Just go to mattselznick.com and click the books section and you'll see it there. So we're going to leave it there. I hope that maybe you have heard about some tools that maybe you hadn't heard of already. Or if I've talked about things you were aware of, maybe I've convinced you to give them a go if you're not already using them. If you have a suite of software, tools, and services that you find indispensable in your own creative life, especially your creative writing life, I hope you'll consider commenting on this episode. You can leave a comment in the show notes for Sonatotum number 60 by going, once again, to mattselznick.com, clicking on the podcasts link in the top menu, and you'll find episode 60 right there on the page. Most of the podcasting clients, wherever you happen to get your podcasts, will include the show notes right there in the podcasting app, so you can click through from there and just get to the show notes for Sonatotum 60. Leave me a comment. Tell me about your tools and services that you use for your creative writing life. Especially, you know, well, not especially, but I am particularly interested in, you know, if you are not a Windows/Android user, for the minority of you who use Mac products, by all means, let me know what those might be. And you can also send me an email at matt@mattselznick.com. Either write me an email or, heck, record me a little voice message on your phone and email me that voice file to matt@mattselznick.com. I will respond to the email and include whatever feedback and input you might have in a future episode. If you send me a voice message, I'll play that message in a future episode and we'll have a little time-shifted conversation in that way. Finally, if you are moved to support this show and the overall cost and effort and time that it takes to create the show and my creative endeavors as a whole, if you are moved to become a patron of my creative endeavors and this show, I hope you will go to mattselznick.com/B-A-patron or go to patreon.com/mattselznick. If you're going to pledge, I strongly recommend you pledge at the $5 a month level. Wink, wink, hint, hint, the benefits and assets and access and cool things that you get as a pledge at $5 a month are about to become much better. It's where you want to be if you're going to be a patron. Speaking of my patrons, thank you to my current patrons, Ted Leonhart and J.C. Hutchins, who have pledged at least the $5 a month level, giving them the benefit of being mentioned here in the show and me publicly thanking them. I'm so appreciative. Thank you both. Thank you to my other patrons who pledge at lower levels. Everything is appreciated. Thank you so much. If you, once again, would like to become a patron and support the show and give your thanks in that way, mattselznick.com/B-A-patron. As always, I like to mention that if you are not moved or don't have the means to contribute financially, wherever you listen to podcasts, please take a moment to rate and or review Sonatotum, 4, 5 stars, whatever you think is appropriate. And if you have a little extra time, write a review in your own words about what you like about Sonatotum. Ratings and reviews help the show move up in the results, in the rankings at the various podcast directories, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever. However, wherever you listen to podcasts, the more ratings and reviews, the more visible that podcast becomes, and so our listening community might grow. Rate and review Sonatotum wherever you get your podcasts. It is really appreciated, and it really does matter. So thank you for that. Speaking of thank yous, as a thank you to anyone who listens to the show all the way through to the end, I like to give you the opportunity to receive some discounts on my services that I offer to writers, podcasters, and other creators. Those discounts change periodically. So to find out the latest best deals, the latest way that I thank you and only you, I don't mention these deals anywhere else other than in the podcast at the end of the show, to check out the current offerings, go to mattselznick.com/listener-love. And if you are a creator, especially a creative writer, an author or an aspiring author or someone who just needs some help with their fiction, their nonfiction, or with getting that fiction and nonfiction to market and to an audience, check it out. You can see all of my services at mattselznick.com/services or and mattselznick.com/listener-love to see the offers that I have just for you, the listener of Sonatotum. There it is. I hope this episode was a bit more of a service to you. I hope that the resources and programs and things that I use day to day in and out that I find so valuable, I hope that you find value in them as well. Again, you can find the list of everything I've mentioned in this episode with links in the show notes for Sonatotum episode 60. Over there at mattselznick.com. I am going to drink some ice water. I might be flirting with a cold. So I'm going to take care of myself in that regard and stop talking. My name is Matthew Wayne Selznick. Take care.